Our Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. I thank you that it is living and active. It speaks truth to us today. It can shape our hearts. It can change the way we view the world. It can affect our actions. Father, please would you be at work this morning? As we look at Nehemiah 1 and 2, would you be shaping us into the prayerful people you want us to be? And would you be bringing glory to your name? Amen. Last week, Sarah, my wife, was speaking at youth group up at All Saints. And she told them a story which I had forgotten all about. We were in our first year of marriage. We were living in central London, with me working for a church and Sarah still studying at Oak Hill College, and we had no money. We had nothing. Nearly 100% of my income went on rent and council tax and utilities bills. We had no TV, we had no internet, we had no money for the bus, so we walked everywhere. We'd often have no money for food. And she was telling the young people about this one time where we were completely out of funds. The bank account was zero. We had a couple of tins in the cupboard. I had a fiver in my pocket, and it was still a week to go till payday. So we prayed. We prayed, and then we walked to the local shop just as the manager was putting out the most reduced food I have ever seen. We're talking steaks for 10p, sausages for 5p a packet, bacon, beef, chicken. And so, with my fiver, we stocked up. And I ate the carnivore diet of a king for the rest of that week. Now it's a small example, isn't it? But it does beg the question, why? Why do the prayers of a young couple in a city of 9 million people make a difference? Why is God concerned with even the small details of our lives? Why does God act to provide for his people in the big things and in the small things? What is it that we need to know about God to be able to pray with boldness and confidence? And I think Nehemiah goes some way to answer that question for us. We can pray with boldness and confidence because God listens and God is generous. God listens and God is generous. We see God listening in chapter 1. At the beginning of Nehemiah, we find him living in the citadel of Susa. It was one of the winter residences of the Persian kings. So this is after the exile, after God's people have been removed from the promised land by the Babylonians, and now the Persians are the big power of the day. So Nehemiah is an Israelite living in exile, and some other blokes show up, and he gets some news from home. The remnant there in Jerusalem, who survived the exile, is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. The news Nehemiah gets is that the Jews back in Jerusalem are in trouble. They're facing disgrace. They're in danger because the walls of the city are broken down. The gates are burnt down. And Nehemiah's response is extraordinary. He weeps and he mourns. He fasts and he prays. And just take a look at what he prays. Take a look down at verses 5 to 11. This is Nehemiah's prayer. Oh God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants. confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. And give success to your servant today. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Just notice the different elements that are at play in that prayer. And Nehemiah acknowledges who God is, the Lord, the covenant, relational God of Israel, and not just some distant deity, but the God who has revealed his name to his people. He's the great and awesome God, the powerful and the mighty one, the one who we should rightly respond to with reverence and awe. He's the covenant keeper, fully trustworthy. He's the one who steadfastly loves his people. And so, having acknowledged all that God is, Nehemiah then confesses the sins of his people and the sins of his own family. He knows they've acted wickedly. He knows the Israelites have failed to obey God's commands. He knows the mess that Israel find themselves in. And the reason for the exile in the first place was because of their sin. And so he confesses. And then he makes two requests. First, he asks God to remember the promises that God had made to gather the Israelites to himself and return them to the promised land if they would just return to him. And secondly, he asks that God would listen to Nehemiah and grant him success in the eyes of this as yet unknown plan with this as yet unknown man. It is a big, bold prayer which relies entirely upon God's goodness and acknowledges our own sinfulness. It recognizes God's ability, but it also recognizes our inability. And the outcome? I jump ahead to chapter 2, verse 8. And the king granted me what I asked for. The good hand of my God was upon me. The Lord was listening. Nehemiah asked God that his ear would be attentive and his eyes would be open, and God's ears were attentive. His eyes were open. He listened and he gave Nehemiah the success he desired. And that success brings us nicely on to chapter 2, where we see that not only does God listen, but God is generous. 4 months after hearing the news from Jerusalem, Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer, brought Artaxerxes wine. We're going to call him Art from now on because I'm going to say that name differently every time I have to say it if we don't. He brings Art wine while looking downcast. When asked what was wrong, Nehemiah shares the news that the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins, its gates destroyed by fire. To which Art asks the question, what is it you want? What is it that you request? This is a big moment. This is the beginning of us as readers wondering if God is about to answer Nehemiah's prayer from chapter 1. And look at what Nehemiah does. Verse 4. I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it." He says to Wa, can I go so that I can rebuild? Can I go so that I can rebuild the walls? It is a bold request. Will this king let his servant go to rebuild the defences of a city in some out of the way little corner of his massive empire? Why on earth would Art agree to that? But look at what happens. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, "How long will you be gone? And when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. In a completely unexpected turn of events, Art agrees to let Nehemiah go. And what does Nehemiah do? He asks for more. He has a completely unexpected yes to the request to go and rebuild, and so he asks for more. From a human perspective, we might say he starts to push his luck. But there's no luck involved. It's the hand of the Almighty at work. Take a look at verses 7 and 8. "And I said to the king, 'Well, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the province beyond the river, that they might let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter for Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy.'" Do you see what he's asking for? See what he's saying? He's saying, thanks, boss, for letting me go to rebuild the walls of a city in a forgotten corner of your massive empire. And by the way, could you also guarantee me safety throughout the 800-mile journey to get there? And actually, could you also give me the material that I need to be able to rebuild the walls? And actually, could that material be the best wood from the royal parks? And actually, whilst you're at it, could you stick enough in there as well for me to build myself a house when I get there? It is an audacious, bold, over-the-top request. And what happens? The king granted me what I asked for the good hand of my God was upon me. Even sends officers and cavalry to accompany Nehemiah on his journey. You see this isn't God merely listening to Nehemiah's requests and answering with the bare minimum. This is God who going so far for his people. This is a lavish and generous God pouring out blessings and benefits on his servant Nehemiah. And this generosity shouldn't take us by surprise, because the generosity of God is most clearly seen in the gospel, in his giving of Jesus to save us. So the Apostle Paul will write to the Ephesians in the New Testament, "In Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us." John will write in the New Testament, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Or Paul again, writing to the Romans, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Friends, if you doubt the generosity of God, if you doubt the lavish love of God, then look to Christ, the Son given up for us so that we could have forgiveness for our sins, the Son given up for us so that we might be called children of God. So God listens, and God is generous, and so we can pray boldly. And just think about how important those two aspects are. Generous But a deaf God wouldn't be much help to Nehemiah. A God who wanted to help his people, who wanted to bless them and provide for them and look after them, but who wasn't always paying attention, and who we couldn't be sure was always going to be listening, would be pretty unhelpful in practice. Equally, a listening but a stingy God would be no better. A God who knew what we needed, who knew our struggles, who knew the stresses and strains and situations that we faced, but was indifferent to them, who might be persuaded to offer a morsel of help, but no more, but who certainly wasn't generous, would be equally unhelpful. You need both things, a listening God and a generous God. And wonderfully, that's what we have. We have a God who both listens and is generous. And that should result in us being bold in our prayer life. And Nehemiah knew that the God of heaven, the covenant Lord, the faithful, trustworthy, loving one, was listening, and so he prayed. He knew the gracious Lord was generous, and so he prayed boldly. And God answered. Penniless, hungry Adam and Sarah were desperate. So they prayed to a God who listened to them, despite being surrounded by 9 million other people. And he answered generously, providing a veritable feast of meat, a moment of luxury in a pattern of poverty. And I think us getting this identity of the Lord as listening and generous, getting that clear in our minds is going to be vital for us as two church families over the coming weeks, months, and years. Friends, the reality is things are really messy in the Church of England. And frankly, we do not know what the future holds. We don't. But we do know the one who holds the future in his hands. And we don't know what's coming our way. But we do know that whatever does come our way, we can turn in confidence to God in prayer, knowing that he is listening and that he is generous. As I've been looking at Nehemiah this week, writing this sermon, it brought to mind something that Tim Keller, the late great American pastor, tweeted about prayer a few years ago. And not many people can communicate a deep, profound truth in the then limit of 140 characters. But this is what he said. The only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. We have that kind of access. The only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. We have that kind of access. Only a child wakes their royal father up what might seem like a trivial request, a glass of water. No prayer too small. Only a child doesn't need to be mindful of the time when disturbing the king. They can shoot up those prayers like Nehemiah did before boldly requesting in chapter 2. Only the child of a king can dare to wake him up without fear of being dismissed or disciplined or denied. We have that kind of access because our God is listening and he's generous. We can talk to him about little or large things, discounted sausages, or the direction our denomination is travelling in. We can talk without fear of rejection. We can cry out to him day and night. Friends, I wonder how grasping who God is, listening and generous, grasping the type of access you have to him, might change your prayer life. I'd love us to just end by taking 2 or 3 minutes, just where we are, to chat through that question. How might being reminded of who God is change my prayers this week, this month, or this year? just in the, with the person next to you, twos or threes, why don't you spend 2-3 minutes chatting through that question? If you want to quietly reflect by yourself, of course that's all right, but do chat to each other if you'd like to. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Go for it. Let's come back together. Do continue those conversations after the service over a cup of coffee. It'd be a great thing to chat about and use that time profitably. Let me lead us in a prayer, and then I'll hand back to Abby. Our Father God, thank you so much that you are the Lord God of heaven. You are the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with his people. Thank you, Lord, that your ears are attentive and your eyes are open to our prayers. Father, help us to pray with boldness and confidence in any and every situation, because we know that you are listening and that you are generous. Amen.